Amen. Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of James, the letter of James, the fifth chapter. James chapter 5. We're going to begin in the seventh verse today. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Judge not one against another, brothers, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who had spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, nor by the earth, neither by any oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would move us to your will in this moment. All kinds of needs are in this room, Father. I pray that you would meet each person at their heart, that you would move them, Father, closer to you than they have ever been. And we thank you for what you'll do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches that there are going to be difficult days. Now, some of you are already experiencing difficult days, but I got news for you. There will be more difficult days. They're going to be out there. There are going to be days of serious trouble and persecution. There are going to be days that are hard for believers, and those days are going to get worse, more difficult, as the time of Jesus' coming gets closer. There's an increasing persecution that's going to take place in the last days. In 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." There are going to be special times of temptation, of persecution, and there's going to be a heaviness placed on believers. Now, those who first read these words knew that that was very true. They were going through difficulty right as the word came to them. Today, the persecution of believers is rising. There has always been persecution. There's always been difficulty. But you know, we sit in the relative comfort of the United States of America. We sit in this place where we can come and worship and we can feel good and be good and do good and think everything is good. And we don't really realize the price people are paying in our present world to worship God. We have people that just take church as a take it or leave it thing. Worship, well, you know, I don't have to do it all the time. If I check in every now and then, that'll be fine. And while we have this really lazy attitude about worship, there are people in the world today that are putting their life on the line to hold up the name of Jesus. There are people today who actually are having all of their freedoms stripped from them. Worship should be important to us. Worship should be so important to us that we teach it to our children as being important, and we need to teach it to our grandchildren as being important, and then we need to show that it's important by our faithfulness to worship, by our faithfulness to gather together and lift up Jesus. In this nation, our persecution is largely verbal. It's largely kind of out there on the periphery, and we just really don't take it very seriously. I want you to know that persecution is growing. Any day, there is a believer somewhere being tortured for their faith. Any day. The number of countries in which Christians are being persecuted has been reported now as being over 149 by Amnesty International. That organization states that Christians are now the most persecuted people on the planet Earth. beheadings, torture, rape, kidnappings, imprisonment, and more are happening to believers across the world. Last year alone, 165,000 Christians were put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. Last year. I'm not talking thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. I'm talking last year. ISIL recently assaulted northern and western Iraq, as well as Syria. There have been reports in their onslaught of mass killings of believers, of trench graves where bodies of believers are just thrown and left. ISIL announced that Christians in Raqqa, Syria must convert or pay a tax, by the way, that hasn't been imposed since the Middle Ages, or face death. And sometimes, no matter what they do, death is the outcome. The violence and persecution is growing. It's spreading. Now, thankfully, the persecution of the United States has not grown to that level yet. We don't see it moving into violence yet. Mostly verbal, but do not underestimate the attacks that are there. They are subtle, but they are there. They are coming, they are there. Houston, Texas, you know the story. Houston, Texas, the mayor of Houston, Texas, did an on-out onslaught on evangelical churches. She demanded that all of the sermons that dealt with homosexuality or transgenders or any sexual deviation be sent to her office to be examined, so that the churches could see, so they could see whether the churches were in line with the city's policies or not. Now, I'm not talking Outer Mongolia. I'm talking Houston, Texas. We're talking Yeehaw country. Now, the summons was later dropped. You may not know why it was dropped. People say it was dropped because, well, they just thought better of it. No, it was dropped because thousands upon thousands of sermons were delivered to the mayor's office. Certainly, this current growth of persecution is consistent with the time before Jesus should return. It is real. It is out there. Our world is changing, and it's changing away from the Bible. It's not changing toward the Bible. Did you think in the farthest reaches of your mind, did you think that Alabama, of all states, would be performing same-sex marriages this year? You see, things are shifting, and things are shifting away from the Bible, and things are shifting away from God. And as they shift, then anger rises against those who stand for Jesus. James is speaking to believers who face great persecution, and he's speaking to equip them for the difficulties they're going to face before the Lord returns. We need the same encouragement. We need the same challenges. We need to know how to stand. We live in relative comfort. We need to know how to stand when it's not comfortable. We live at ease. We need to know how to stand when it's no longer easy. We need encouragement, how to stand when troubles come our way, how to stand when the temptations are great, how to stand when things seem to go from worse to even worse. And so James tells us we need to stand in patience. Verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. There's a truth believers can hold on to when the going gets tough. Now, I'm not going to tell you when the going will get tough. I'm just going to tell you the going will get tough. And when the going gets tough, you need to hold to this truth. Jesus is coming. This is the truth that should encourage your heart and give you something to stand upon. The truth that Jesus will come again will allow the people of God to hold tight to his word in the difficult days. Even when the days become unbearable, you can still bear them knowing Jesus will come. The great Bible teacher, G. Campbell Morgan, made a great statement about the return of Jesus. He said, the coming of the Lord Jesus is the perpetual light shining on the path which makes the present bearable. We're to stand in patience. That means we're to stand fast. That means we're to hold to the truth. That means we're to take the Bible and make the Bible part of our life, and we are to live by it, no matter what the pressures, no matter what the circumstances may be. It means to hold to the faith whatever conditions fall. And the conditions are falling. The difficulties are coming. The early Christians had a little code word that they would use to kind of encourage one another. It was a word that they would speak when the going really got tough, and they would whisper it to one another, and that would give the other believer the opportunity to stand and the will to stand. It was the word Maranatha. Perhaps you're familiar with that word. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. It was this truth that gave them strength to stand in patience. In fact, this truth allowed them to be faithful when the hardships came, when their families were in jeopardy, when the death knell was coming. The Bible tells us that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus will return. Our Lord Jesus came. He died a brutal death on Calvary's cross. He was buried. He rose again. And as he ascended, the angel said that this same Jesus will come again, just like as you saw him go. Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things began to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." In Titus 2:13, "Look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In 2 Peter 3:12, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God." Stand with patience when things happen that you have no control over. You do know you don't control a lot, right? There are things happen that you have absolutely no control over. What do you do in those times? You stand and you hold on to Jesus. You know that he's coming again, and you seek to do what he wants you to do. James speaks of the farmer who plants the seed and must have patience to wait on the crops. You know, a farmer has no control whatsoever about the weather. A farmer can complain about the weather. A farmer can pray for better weather, but when it comes to a day, he's just got to take the weather that comes. Too much rain can cause a crop to fail. Too little rain, and the crops burn up. If it's too cold, too hot, crops won't produce. What can the farmer do? Tend the crops, plant the crops, weed the crops. But it all ultimately comes down to he's got to wait on the crops. The Jewish farmer would plant and sow in what to us is autumn. The rain that would fall in the autumn would soften the earth. The latter rain that would come in the spring would strengthen the crops and get them ready for harvest. The farmer had to wait on the rain. The farmer had to be patient. If he got tired of the work, if he got fed up with the wait, he would miss out on the precious fruit of the harvest. He had to be patient in what he could not control. Would it do any good for a farmer to complain about the weather? Would that change the weather? It does not do us any good to fret over things that are outside of our control. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't change things. They're outside of our control. The farmer can just keep his eyes on the harvest. Listen, you got to keep your focus on the fact that Jesus is going to come again. You got to keep your focus on the fact that every word that he has given us in the Bible is true. You've got to stand on what we know, and you've got to live in a way that God calls you to live. That you can do something about. The things you cannot control, don't worry about. Keep standing, keep trusting, keep the hope in sight that no matter what happens, no matter how difficult the days may be, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to come for his own, and if you are his own, you're going to go to be with him. We need to stand in patience, and we need to stand in preparation. In verse 8, be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. The trying times of life, the times of trouble, the times of persecution, the difficult moments are times to establish your heart, to make the proper preparations in your life. They're times for you to get ready. To establish your heart is to make your heart stable in God. Literally, it means to put iron in your heart. Have a heart that's strong. Have a stance for Jesus that won't fail. In 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Paul told the believer in Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established. You need to establish your heart. You need to prepare your heart. Prepare your heart by spending time in God's Word. Prepare your heart by seeking out what God would have to say. Listen, you do know you can open this book when you're not in church. You know that? You can read it. Hey, we've got technology now where other people will read it to you. And you know, if you don't want to read, then you can have it read. And God's Word can pour through you at all times. Every day you need some of God's Word. You need it in your life, and then you need to plant it there. You need to be in worship. Listen, our number needs to grow, but it can't grow if you're not filling your seat for someone else to be the growth. And so you need to be here. You need to be in Bible study. You need to be studying God's Word in Sunday school. You need it. You need the fellowship of others who are studying God's Word. We all need time seeking God's Word and planting it into our lives. We're trying to establish ourselves. Difficult days are coming. Now, some of you are saying, I'm already in the difficult days. Well, some of you are. But that doesn't mean the days can't get worse. If you want to be prepared for the difficult days, you got to get into God's Word, and you got to get God's Word into you. The Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to get God's Word into our heart. You need to study the Bible. You need to meditate on the Word of God. That means you need to chew it over in your mind. You need to memorize God's Word. You know we have programs for our children to memorize the Bible? Awanas is a great ministry that we have with children. The average child in Awanas will memorize about 80 verses during a year. What a great thing that is. God's Word will never return void. We're planting it into children's hearts. We need more kids in Awanas. We need more leaders helping with Awanas. We need our children memorizing God's Word, because there will be a day when they're going to need it, and God's Word's going to pop up in their mind because they put it there. But you know what, adults? You need to be memorizing God's Word too. I wish I could say you memorized it all as a child so you're good. But you know you didn't memorize it all as a child. And the rest of us know that we've forgotten most of what we did memorize. And so we need to go back and memorize it again. We need to continually be planting God's word in our head, because there will be moments. There will be moments in your life when you can't get to a Bible. There will be moments in your life when you can't open a Bible. And there will be times in your life when you can't read a Bible. But if it's in your heart, God's word will come to the forefront, and God's word will establish you and see you through. James reminds us, in preparation, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. To establish our hearts, we must start applying God's word to our daily lives. We need to live like we believe the Bible. We need to carry out our lives by what God teaches. You see, we're not prepared. We're not established if we don't do what God's word says on a regular basis. You're not ready for what may come if you're not forgiving of others. That's what God's word teaches. We are to forgive all. So are you forgiving all? You're not ready for what may come if you're not showing His love. You're not ready for what may come if you're not willing to share your faith and tell someone how they can know Jesus as their Savior. You're not ready for what may come if you're not a tither, if you're not faithful in giving. You're not ready for what may come if you're not kind in your dealings with other people. What I'm telling you is, having the Bible is one thing. Having the Bible in your life is another. Living it out is where we need to be carrying it through our lives. And when you live it out, you're established. In 5:9, murmur not one against another, brethren, lest you be judged. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Murmur not one against another. You know what that means? Stop talking about other believers. Stop being critical of other Christians. Stop tearing down others who hold the faith. Stop it. Can you imagine how the lost world thinks of the church when they hear Christians tearing down other Christians and talking about all the negatives of the church? Of course, that's other churches that have negatives, but you know. Are they drawn to God by that kind of talk? No, they're pushed away. Difficult days can squeeze in on you. Do not allow that to make you unkind. God expects His children to act in kindness no matter what the circumstances. Prepare your heart. Don't let hard days make you into a grouch. There are going to be hard days. There will be there. But you don't have to harden because of them. Make spiritual preparation in your life, because in verse 8, the Lord draws near. Verse 9, the judge is at the door. The Bible teaches that Jesus' coming is imminent. Now, some have thought that it was immediate. You know, they're not the same thing. Immediate means right now, very soon, right quick. Imminent means at any time. Always, Jesus' coming could be at any time. That means He could come now, or now, or now. How do you get ready for His coming? Well, you need to always be ready, because it could be now. Or now. Or now. We need to live ready for Him to walk through the door. I heard someone say you need to be ready. You need to be ready to meet God at least a day before you die. Okay. When are you going to die? If you're going to be ready to meet God a day before you die, you may die tomorrow, so you better be ready today. You can't wait till tomorrow. That'd be too late. We need to be consistent in our walk and talk and life. Listen, we have people visit our folks from time to time, and we'll have people tell us, well, I would have been there Sunday, but I had company come. Aren't you faithful enough to church so that your company knows you go to church? And if they come, shouldn't they be coming with you? You just let them know. In fact, when they tell you they're going to come, just let them know, hey, we'll be going to church on Sunday. You can go with us. If they don't go to church, how much do you trust them in your house? If you don't trust them, let them come after church. But you be consistent. You be faithful. Don't let somebody else's unfaithfulness take you out of where God wants you to be. You teach by being consistent, by being established. Listen, when I grew up, I didn't have to ask where I was going to be on Sunday. I was going to be in church. I didn't even have to ask where I was going to be on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I was going to be in church. You know, it wasn't a question. I lived in the house that was going to church, and if I wanted to continue to live in that house, that's where I would be. James taught that Jesus was coming. Well, what did that do for the people who first heard this? I mean, they thought Jesus was coming, and they knew his coming could be at any time. What good did that do for them? Well, they faced great persecution, but they faced great persecution knowing their Lord was real. Knowing that Jesus could come at any time and knowing that he was going to care for them. You got to know this. Jesus is going to come again, and his coming is closer than it has ever been. Doesn't that just make sense? If he hasn't come so far, he is going to come. His coming is closer than it's ever been. But let me tell you the other side of that story. Your going is closer than it's ever been. See, whether he comes for you or not, you're going. And our life is ticking off. And so this is the time, and you need to be prepared. So stand in patience, stand in preparation, stand in proof. In verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. The prophets stood in God's word, and God took them through great difficulties. And when we look back on their lives, it's proof of how God's word pays off in a life. Take old Daniel. Daniel was faithful to God. Daniel was going to pray. They said, you can't pray. Daniel kept on praying. Why? Because God was his ruler, not man. And so he continued to pray. So what happened to him? Well, when the persecution came, he was taken away. This is Daniel, a mighty man of God, a man well respected in the public, and yet he was taken away. He ended up in a lion's den where everyone thought that Daniel would be kitty litter. Didn't happen. Daniel survived the moment. He was prepared. Noah stood on God's word and talked about the flood. He challenged people that the flood was going to come. He told them that indeed it was going to rain. Now, to that day, we are told that there really wasn't rain. And that day, there really hadn't been a flood. They didn't relate to that real well. But yet, he told them. He told them for a long time. He told them day in after day. And he was faithful to tell them, and he was faithful to build the ark. Noah did not persuade a lot of people to get into the ark. But when the rains came, when the floods covered the earth, Noah and his family was safe. You're being faithful, you're being established, can win your family and can care for your family. And at the end of the day, Noah and the ark proved God's word is true. This passage speaks of Job. It speaks of the patience of Job. Now, if you read about Job and our word patience, you really don't think Job was very patient. There's many ways that he was not patient. But the word actually means to bear the load. Job lost everything he had, and he bore the load. He held up under. It means to keep on keeping on no matter what. Job's friends turned against him. Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Job just kept on believing. This is what Job says. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand upon the earth. What was that last thing? I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand upon the earth. I know Jesus is coming again. God showed Job mercy and blessed his life forevermore. You may not understand what's happening in this world. You may not understand what's happening in your life. You may not understand why you're facing what you're facing. But if you know Jesus, stand in patience. Stand in preparation. Stand in the proof that God has provided. Just as God has kept his word in the past, he will keep his word today, and he will keep his word forever. You can trust him. Then in verse 12 it says, swear not and let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You can stand in the Lord, but you need to stand true to the Lord. You need to be a person of your word. We used to talk about people being people of the word. Well, listen, you can't be a person of the word if you're not a person of your word. People need to know that what you say is true. People need to know that you can be depended upon. Because if you can be depended upon in your speech and what you say about everyday life and how you deal with everyday issues, you can be depended upon when you tell people about Jesus. And from your life and from your words and from your consistency and from your stand, people can look at you and be drawn to Jesus. You know, we need to be examples to draw people to Jesus. Lost people need saved people to stand in the faith that they might come to Jesus. Believer, are you taking the stand? Truthfully, we need believers that are willing to bow the knee. We need to be willing to bow before the Lord. We need to be willing to give him all of our heart and all of our life. We need to be willing to carry out our days for his will and for his glory. And we need to make that commitment today. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus, you need to come to know Jesus. Just need to come down the aisle and say, I want Jesus. Very simply, today you can know Jesus is coming to your heart. You can know that you're saved and going to heaven. But you've got to say yes to him. The decisions that need to be made are yours to make. If you're a Christian, I'm thankful that you're a Christian. You're going to heaven, praise God, you're going to heaven. But you need to live for Jesus until that time comes. And you need to commit yourself anew to him today. Let's stand for prayer. Father, move within our hearts. Move us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior, and were they to die today, they would spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Father, today they have an opportunity to turn to you. Let them take that opportunity. For Christians, oh Father, we have not been standing as strong as we should. I pray that today that would change. I pray that today that we would take a stand for you, Father, that we would bow before you, that we would give you all of our heart, all of our lives, all of our days. And I thank you for what you'll accomplish in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come.